All right, let's read here. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Talk about contentment for just a few minutes here tonight. Contentment. The Bible says that there in Timothy that godliness with contentment is great gain. We've brought nothing into the world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out of this world. Contentment is it's an attitude, and contentment is a spiritual and a godly attitude. And if we are to develop this in our life, we need to realize what the Apostle Paul is saying here, and that is, he said, "I have learned some things. I have learned that I know how to abound. I know how to be abased." And he's just saying, I know how to, you know, I'm not moved by circumstances. It doesn't change me. It doesn't affect me. I'm contented with where I am. If I have plenty and I have a lot in abundance, then I'm content. If I don't have all that I need, I'm content there as well. Now, he didn't get there by just becoming a Christian. It was a process. He said, I have learned this. It's been an education. And I think that as you come to the Lord and you serve the Lord for any length of time, you learn the lesson of contentment. You learn how to be content and to realize the blessing of contentment. You know, if you're a parent, a lot of you, most of you here tonight are parents, then you remember when your child or children, when they were born, when they were brought home from the hospital, and from that day forward, there was this commitment that was made. If you're the right kind of a parent, you made a commitment to your child or your children from the very beginning, and sometimes it's almost like it's a God-given natural instinct for a mother or a father to want to take care of their family, take care of their children. You probably, when you brought that baby home, it's been so long for a lot of us, we don't remember that well about it, but there were going to be sick nights, there were going to be, you know, times of struggle, there was going to be tears, there were going to be scrapes and lots of hard knocks and a lot of things that they were going to go through. And as a parent, you were their closest ally in this world. You were there for them, that you wanted to provide for them, you wanted to protect them, and I was just reading a little news article, I think it was today or maybe yesterday. A young mother, this was out in Oklahoma, a young mother whose husband had died at Christmas time with cancer. And she was young, and she had a small baby, not even a year old baby. And one night she hears people trying to break into her house. She lived in a mobile home. They're trying to break into her house. And she calls 911 and says, "I have a gun. If they come into my house, should I shoot them?" And the person on the other end of the line said, "Well, I'm not going to tell you to shoot them, but I'm going to tell you to do whatever you have to do to protect your child. You do whatever you have to do." And so she took the baby and put the baby in the baby bed and put a bottle in the baby's mouth and stood there beside the bed with a shotgun. And when the guy broke in and came in to that room, she shot him and she killed him. That's what parents do to protect their families. You will go into all lengths to try to preserve them and to take care of them, to provide for them. So being a mom or a dad is a lifelong assignment. And it's never over until you breathe your last breath in this world. Now it changes over the process of years. You know, a different kind of relationship when your child becomes an adult, it changes, but it still doesn't change to the degree that you don't have still that God-given assignment from God to be there for them. And you're going to do that as God gives you the grace and the strength and the ability to do that. It's not going to change. It's a lifelong commitment to them, no matter where they are, no matter what they go through, no matter what their circumstances are. Moms and dads are committed. If you're made of the right stuff, if you're the kind of parent that God wants us to be, then that's the kind of commitment we will make to our family and to our children. Now, with that being said, we have a heavenly Father who loves us. You think you love your child? It can't even be compared to the way that our heavenly Father cares for us. So why and how can we live a life of contentment? We live contented because we know that we have a heavenly Father who cares about us, will provide for us. He's working in our life. He is the sovereign one who knows all and beforehand, and he's planned it all for our good and for his glory. So the things that are going on in your life, even right now, some of them adverse and difficult things that are going on, they're directly related to the fact that you have a heavenly Father who cares about you, and in the midst of your struggles, he's going to be there for you. He's going to come to your rescue. Praise God. We know that all things work together. All things work together. Romans 8:28. Everything. You belong to God. You're a child of God. He's your heavenly Father. All the things that are going, all things are working together for good. For good. To them that love God. To them that are called according to his purpose. So that lends to contentment and peace and assurance to know that you have a sovereign heavenly Father that hasn't just, you know, saved you and then just went off and left you to your own trouble. But he will never leave you or forsake you. He is with you. And when you go through the challenging, difficult times, if you think a natural mother or father will go to the rescue of their child, you can be sure your heavenly Father is not going to leave you or forsake you. Praise God. And Paul was like a spiritual father to those of Macedonia and to those Philippians. He was their spiritual Father. And he said, "I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content." And really, he's talking about the process, you know, of through it all, through all these trials. And he lists those things that he goes through, you know, stonings and shipwreck and fastings often, all those things that he suffered. He went through all of those difficult
times. And even in the midst of all that, it was like an education that the Lord was letting him to go through. And he was learning how to trust in Jesus. Amen. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. It is a process. And we are continually to be learning. I know sometimes that things like the seems like the world and maybe even your life circumstance is kind of spinning out of control and you don't know what to do, but no, your Heavenly Father. That word providence is a wonderful word. The word comes from two Latin words, actually. The first part, the P-R-O, means before. And then the latter part of it means to see before. That's really what providence is all about. That it may come to a big shock and surprise to you when you go through some circumstance, but not ever to your Heavenly Father. He's always there, and not only is he there, he saw before, and the providence of God was God at work. God working. The providence of God. This is Warren Wiersbe's definition, which I really love. The working of God in advance to arrange circumstances and situations for the fulfilling of his divine purpose. Did you get that? The working of God in advance to arrange circumstances and situations for the fulfilling of God's purpose. So God is at work, and not only is he at work right now in your trouble, your problem, he was working before it ever came. He was working before your trouble arrived and before your heartache arrived. He's your Heavenly Father who is working for you and for your good and for your benefit. And he even allowed some of the things that you're experiencing, he allowed them for a divine purpose. And it was always for your good and for the glory of God. What about the example of young Joseph, 17 years old, sold into slavery? The heartache of all that he went through down in Egypt, being lied on and thrown in prison and forgotten in prison. All of those years that went by, then finally the time came and he is pulled out of that prison. Providentially, God brings him out just in time to reveal to Pharaoh and his dreams, interpret them and tell him what is happening. Not only to preserve all of Egypt, but to provide provision for his family that's going to come after. You know, it was 20 years. It was 20 years from the time he was stolen away until finally his family came to join him in Egypt. All those years. And there's a lot of heartache and a lot of time that he's sitting in prison and a lot of time that he is no doubt questioning, wondering, God, what's going on? Have you forgotten about me? Have you forsaken me down here in this place? But God hadn't forgotten. God had prearranged it all. He had planned it all. He's our Heavenly Father who is not only at work right now, but he was at work when all of these events were being set in order for us. Amen. That's what providence is. Genesis 45 and verse 5. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. And this is Joseph talking to his brethren. Don't be angry with yourself over what you've done, that you have sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. God sent me down here. Amen. God sent me down here. He used a caravan of Egyptians to bring me down here. But God arranged that. God sent me down here. God put me in Potiphar's house. God put me in prison. God allowed me to go through all of these things because he was arranging salvation for all of Joseph's family. Amen. Then in Genesis 50 and verse 20, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. You understand, you can trust your Heavenly Father. You can trust him. What you're experiencing now, what you're going through now, is not just your world. You belong to God. If you're a child of God, your world is not spinning out of control because of our sovereign God who sees before and plans before and set things into motion and movement before. And he did it all for your good, and he did it all for the glory of God to accomplish a certain purpose. Here's another Wiersbe quote. Life is not a series of accidents, but a series of appointments. Praise God. It is not a series of accidents, but a series of appointments that God is working and he's arranging in his perfect will and timing. So don't get bitter at God. Don't get angry over the things that are going on in your life. It may seem like it's trouble and adversity and hard times that you're experiencing, but if you allow the grace of God to help you, then you'll be able to see God has been in the middle of this all along. And he has a divine purpose in this. Praise God. That we can find contentment in knowing that. Amen. That our Heavenly Father, no matter where you are, our Heavenly Father cares about us more than we care about our own children. Our own parents cared about us. I remember I left home. I was 17 years old. I left home traveling with an evangelist. I was singing and playing music, playing the drums and whatever else that I needed to do. And we were out in meetings. We traveled from Oklahoma down to Texas and all the way out to California. And that's what I always wanted to do. I wanted to do that. And so I traveled with these people. And when I left home, I mean, I was like a free bird. And several weeks went by. I don't know how many, maybe as much as 6 weeks. This was before the days of cell phones and text messages and that type of thing. And so I hadn't called home. My mom didn't even know for sure where I was at. So when I did finally call home after 4 or 5 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it was, instead of her saying, "Oh, how you doing? I'm so glad to hear from you." Instead, she said, "Why have you not called me before now? Why have I not heard from you? It's been how many weeks it's been, and you've not even called in." I learned my lesson quick. Check in with mom. She knows. She was worried. She's afraid something had happened, or she didn't know what was going on. I learned my lesson well. And I still call and check in. Because parents care. Families care. And to the degree that they care, which is great. You can't imagine that someone could love your kids more than you love them, but oh, we have a Heavenly Father. The love cannot be matched. Cannot be matched. And he is working in your life situation right now. Amen. So I don't understand how that's possible. Well, I know it to be true. That gives me great peace and comfort, even though I have some turmoil in my family with some of my children. I have great trouble and turmoil, even though it's there. I know that even in that God is at work, that God is involved. And he knew about it long before these things began to develop. God knew about these things, and he prearranged them for my good and for the good of my family, my kids. He cares about me, and he cares. So that gives me a great deal of peace. Amen. A great deal of contentment to know that God is at work. He's got a big plan, much bigger than I could ever imagine. I just have to learn how to trust him. That's what the apostle says here. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, or whatever the circumstance is, I have learned to be content. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. He's just saying, I know how to be content when things are bad and when they are good. When things are flourishing and when they're not. I've learned how. Know how to, in everywhere, in all things, I'm instructed. Notice another term there related to the lessons that we learn. I've learned and I've been instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ. And really, the essence of that verse is, I can go through anything. is really what he's saying. I can go through anything because Christ strengthens me. I can go through anything. I can suffer whatever because I know that the Lord is with me. I can do all things. I can suffer all things because Christ is the one that strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now he shifts into the fact that he's telling this church, out of all the churches that I've ministered to, you're the only one that has remembered me. And you've sent me gifts. You've sent me offerings. You've remembered me even after I left there. And he said, I didn't ask for a gift. I didn't really desire you to send me these gifts. But what I have desired is that fruit could abound to your account. I want to see. So I want to accept these gifts that you have sent through my brother Aphroditus. I'm going to receive them. And he says in verse 18, he says, they are like an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable. I've received them as a sacrifice and as an offering unto the Lord. And really what I want to see happen is I want to see you bearing fruit. Amen. He cared about them that much. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That is our Heavenly Father, who always will come to your need and to your rescue and help you when you put your trust in the Lord. Contentment. My, it isn't always easy to be content. One of the things, we live in a world that tries to get us to not be content. If you go to the shopping mall, which is one of my most dreaded places, but if you go there and you walk through that place, you'll see things and things are for sale there, and you'll think, "My, look at all those nice things. I don't have nice things like that." And you can walk from one end to the other end of the mall, and you're feeling sorry for yourself by the time you get to the other end, because they've all got these nice, nice things, or you would think they do. But they have those. Contentment. Where do we receive our contentment? From knowing we have a Heavenly Father who cares about us. He provides for us and he supplies everything that we have need of. Let me give you those quotes again from Wiersbe because they're so good. Sovereignty of God, the working of God in advance to arrange circumstances and situations for the fulfilling of his purpose. Praise God. And the other one is, life is not a series of accidents, but a series of appointments. Amen. Someone has said that disappointments are his appointments. Sometimes you have a disappointment, and if you'll just realize that those are oftentimes that God has appointed to use that circumstance or that disappointment so that you'll put your trust completely in the Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are a sovereign God. You are our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, that you have given to us peace and assurance, a real contentment that the world can't even comprehend. They don't understand it. That contentment comes from knowing, Lord, that we're your child. We belong to you. And you love us with an everlasting love. And you care about our lives and every detail of our lives. And you have planned and arranged even before. And you have seen even before in all the affairs of our life. And we just thank you, Lord, that even tonight, God, that you are working. And you are a faithful Heavenly Father. Glory to God.